welcome to a very special on-location edition of the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. We are at the International Christian Film Festival in Orlando, Florida, and it's been exciting, and I am here today with Brother Wally, and he is the producer of City Lost. And so, Brother Wally, first thing, what do you think of the film as a producer?
I think the film came out fantastic. It's a testament to Paul Wittenberger's filmmaking. As we were talking, this kind of film festival is more for networking, getting to know people, right? So not a lot of people sit in on the films. So many are going on at the same time. But we were able to get a crowd in there, and more importantly, keep the crowd all the way to the end. And they were blown away. Lots of people changed their mind on the subject, so it's just fantastic.
Well, yes, and I do. I really appreciate your involvement in this and just helping get it out, producing it, telling us about this film festival too. I really think it's going to help a lot. And so I know, as somebody who is a part of it, and we've been working on this for such a long time, you know, just getting to see response and just those involved, you know, you want to make sure they're happy with it. But again, this film festival, I mean, what do you think of it so far?
Well, I think it's great. You know, there's so many different kinds of Christians that come here. And a lot of times we'll close ourselves off to it. But I think even if we disagree on some things, I think we need to be a presence there.
Right?
I think it's been amazing that you've been able to talk to people, that we're talking to people, and people start to see our film. So it's almost like you're a missionary going in with this film,
right?
Even in a Christian place, right? So, but lots of people, they're in the industry, they're doing a lot of music, doing a lot of films, there's actors, directors, all that kind of thing around here, all looking to do something for the Lord in some way, shape, or form, whatever way that might be. But lots of people coming to this table, and I wasn't sure. Look, we have COVID land on the table here, right? And I was like, I wonder how that's going to play. People are coming like, we love this. How do I get this? So lots of people opening their eyes here. There's a lot of commonality going on.
Right. And what have you been hearing from the people that watch the film here?
They have been had their minds changed.
Good.
So they're like, there's no doubt. Obviously, it's not up on the Temple Mount. Obviously, it's in the city of David. Of course, the water flow, right? All of a sudden, it's revelation to them. And that is such an impact, right? It's like, oh, thank God. Like that, praise the Lord that it actually is working, right? You put all this work into it, or you put all this money behind it, and you try, and you're like, I hope it reaches someone. And just to see it in real time reach people has been amazing.
Yes. Yes. So when it comes to film festivals like this, you know, most of us, and myself included, you know, we don't understand how the distributing of films and all that works. So, you know, how important is it to use something like this to help get it out?
It really garnishes visibility to a lot of the decision makers in the film industry, right? So there's so many different ways to distribute. All we know is, like, consumers, things go to the theater and then you can see them on Netflix or something eventually, right? But there's so much nuance to all of that, right? There's whether or not it should be in a theater. Is it going to go straight streaming, or is it going to be pay-per-view? Is it going to be only in the United States, or is it going to have foreign markets? All that gets discussed here. There's all different kinds of rights for every single kind of different country. You have to really cut deals the right way so that it gets to a broader audience. You don't want to accidentally, we'll sign with this one distributor and then they hold it hostage for 5 years trying to make money out of it. No, we want it to be in everyone's living room. We want it to be in all the churches. We want it to be on wherever it can be. Like, even those kinds of Christian channels that maybe you agree with or don't agree with. Like, maybe there's a TBN and a CBN and those kind of places that maybe you like and maybe you don't. But if this was on those channels, now we're reaching into our other brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can see the message and start to understand what's really going on in the Middle East and where it actually is.
Yeah, I agree, because obviously the message was not compromised anywhere on the film. So if it is allowed to go in these other places, then, you know, that's a huge win for us. And so I'm really hoping it does. Now, I guess the final question I have is, we're obviously waiting for the award ceremony.
Right.
How important is it, you know, for us to win these awards? How could it affect things besides the prestige of it? You know, could it help get it out more if we win?
Well, one of the things that's new to this film festival this year is that any film that wins any award somehow or another gets a theatrical release some way.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's something that we learned. I'm not exactly sure exactly how that works or how many theaters or what that all entails, but at least we get that, right? And so it's not just because we want to go up and hold an award and make a speech. It's because, oh, look, now we're going to have a bigger audience. Now people can see it in a better place. So just so you have those little urls that are there with the, it's won these awards, puts it in a lot more people's minds that, oh, we got to pay attention to this film. Why is it so important? And then when you watch it, their lives are changed with the way that they look at things that happen there. So
right. So the success of the film isn't necessarily dependent on winning awards, but it could help.
No, it could help in the distribution and maybe being seen in a different way, but it's not important at all, really. It's the visibility. You just want it to be here so more people get to know it. You connect with other people. They are already becoming advocates of it. How do I show this to someone I know? You know, that's what you really want. It's the spreading of it, like anything. Like if we get it down to the point where, oh, here, Jill, let me just tap your phone so you can have this and you can watch it. That's what we really want in the end, right?
All right. Well, thank you very much for your massive role in this. We definitely wouldn't be here without you, for sure. So I appreciate it.
We all wouldn't be here without Paul. So Paul Wittenberger, right. His filmmaking is amazing. So it's why we sit behind it, and he just does an amazing job. So much so that even Bob Cornuk says, I learned some things I didn't know, even in my own film.
Yeah.
So Paul does a fantastic job, and I'm happy to be behind it. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, now we have the director of the film, Brother Paul Wittenberger. And Brother Paul, I know this has been exciting for you. I want you to just share your feelings a little bit, because with the just hours and hours that you've put into this thing, I guess finally now getting people who don't know you personally, you know, just them getting to see this for the first time and seeing their response, how has that been for you?
Well, it's kind of been a mixed emotion, because this film has been in the making for a long time. A lot of people have supported it since all the way back to 2020. So to see the final product come out and be and to just hear people's reactions to the full length, and just to see that, yeah, people love it. And it's exciting for me. And you know, I'm very proud of this film. I definitely believe it is my best work, not only technically wise, but it is just a powerful message that, you know what, maybe we are fighting over the wrong location. And if people just realize that, that might change a lot of political stuff over there in the Middle East. And yeah, I'm really excited to get this message out. And, you know, it's gotten a lot of exposure just from being here at the festival. We had a fantastic turnout to the screening, which that's always awesome.
Yeah. Well, anybody who's, you know, interested in the Bible is interested in biblical locations, and especially Jerusalem. And so it has been fascinating to, I guess, finally hear from people who don't either, you know, love us or hate us,
right?
And because this is it's kind of the unbiased, and so I mean, it seemed like almost everyone that was in there was coming up and talking to some of us,
right?
Just giving their reactions and thoughts. And so
I mean, not to cut you off, but you could really tell, like, when the movie finished, no one left.
No,
everyone stayed there. They listened to the Q&A. I feel like a lot of people were just kind of blown away by it. They just never even considered that this was a possibility. Everyone just assumed that the temple was located in the traditional site and that it's not really a topic of discussion. I think that people were really blown away by, wow, yeah, this was a compelling argument that really changes the way we look at the entire landscape of Jerusalem.
Yes, and that was interesting to me too, because most people aren't aware there's a controversy. Most people who are aware, you know, they've already kind of picked a side. So yeah, so seeing the reaction like that. And and then also too, just for me, what was encouraging, some of the things that I think, some of the unique messages that are in that documentary that I really wanted to get out to people, having them come and talk to me about that. For example, too, just most people have not put together this idea that we shouldn't be supporting the rebuilding of the temple, because
right.
Jesus Christ finished all of that. Yet, because they've been told to support Israel in almost everything, they have supported that. And so that was one, some of the feedback I got of just like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's like, we knew both of these truths, but never just kind of put them together.
Right.
So I loved that people, it's like great visuals and all of those things, you know, people really seem to get the message. And so I know that was very satisfying for me. And so as far as these awards coming up, you know, how important is that to you? I know you've got to be excited.
Well, obviously we want to win. And by the time this video comes out, we'll already know whether we won or not. Obviously we want to win because that will get us more exposure. However, if we don't win, I mean, it's fine. We got what we came for. We got the exposure. We were able to go into all the producer meetings, talk to different distributors, and pitch our movie. Yesterday, Wally went around to all the major distributors at a round table over there in those back rooms, and he pitched the movie to every distributor. We got one offer so far. Most offers usually don't come in until later anyway, so I'm just real happy we got an offer, and it's a fairly big company. So I'm not gonna say that name of the company because it's not signed yet, but it was an offer, a legit offer. So I think it's going places now.
Yeah. So is this your first film that you've done that you've entered into a film festival?
Yeah, so I've made 13, I think, documentaries. And for some reason, I've just never entered them into a film festival. I really kind of regret not doing it because it really does get you a lot more exposure for your film and the networking, meeting the different people. I feel like we know everyone in this whole building just because we walked up to everyone trying to push them to come to our movie. And then by doing that, we were talking to people and had that connection. So yeah, it's, I feel like having it in a film festival is something I always want to do from here on out, which is probably sad for you to hear. And because A Man of God is a long way away, which is our next film. But it would be great if that came out next year's festival. And it would be about the right time to not totally stress me out. Because it has to be done in January.
Mm-hmm.
I would still have to get it done by the end of this year.
So that gives you a deadline. It's just a lot farther than what people
anyone
want.
Wants.
Yeah.
But it would make me a lot less stressed, probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we got Man of God coming out, but now also Golgotha.
Yes, Golgotha. So Bob is, if you look at Pastor McMurtry's shot right now, you can see Bob in the background. We've been talking to him all week, and he wants us to come out in October to film that final scene for Golgotha. So once we get that, we already have the movie pretty much shot. We do need to go back over to the Silwan Village and get hidden camera footage showing the split tombs and the rocks in the Silwan Village. That's a scene we're missing. We have everything else, we just need that scene. So Bob, I, and Wally, maybe Pastor McMurtry, if he can make it out there, we'll go out there and get that final scene this year. It looks like it's happening. He's been schmoozing Wally back there. So yeah, hopefully that happens.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for the interview, and excited to see what happens in the awards ceremony.
Yeah, and before we leave, I just want to thank you, Pastor, for coming all the way out here to this festival. It's been fun. I mean, I know it's a little outside of your comfort zone, but just to show the support you've showed me throughout the whole making of this, I just really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's I'm always for new experiences, and this has definitely been a new experience for
right,
me.
Right.
I did not know what to expect, but anything to help the film,
yeah,
and I'm glad I did. I do not regret coming at all. It's been good.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well,
thank you. All right, so we got to talk to the producer, the director, and now the main character in A City Lost, Bob Kornuk, and I have been so anxious to talk to you about this film, and because I've really wanted to know your thoughts. Obviously, most of the research and everything that went into this was based on your book. You are the guy with information. So what did you think about the film?
Well, the film was a surprise in a good way. you know, I've done a lot of documentaries. I've done a lot of TV, history, National Geographic, Travel Channel shows, kind of like that. And they're all kind of just good. But this one had something unique in it, in that it actually sparkled in a good way. It was just a surprise to see the masterful way in which Paul Wittenberger put it together as director. And you were on it as well. You did a phenomenal job. It just was a good team effort. And it wasn't just a film saying, oh, this is a good feeling film, and this is okay, we all, you know, let's say kumbaya kind of thing. It was different than that. This one really dug deep. It was like an autopsy in history. Most people just look at the outside. This is what, you know, and you're a pastor, you know that you read the outside, you sort of accept what somebody said before. But sometimes we don't delve into the bowels, where we have to do a historical autopsy, and you got to cut through the sinew of tradition and the fat of misinformation, and then you finally get deep, and then you find the truth there. Most people don't want to do that, but this film did that. This film dug deep into tradition and through the misinformation, the fat of misinformation, and they found the truth lying way deep in the darkened chambers of history. So what Paul Wittenberger did is he lifted a candle, he went through these dark recesses of history, and along the way he found truths. You were involved in it, hopefully I added a little bit to the film, and it was just a marvelous product, and I'm proud to be a part of it. I think that every Christian should watch the film. It's going to change their entire view of biblical history as it relates to the temple in Jerusalem.
No, I totally agree, because one thing that we rarely do whenever we believe something is like look at the source of that belief. And when it comes to this subject, you know, I was amazed at how much is just tradition and people accept that. And it's like, well, you know, do we have the physical evidence, you know, the historical evidence, the archaeological evidence? And so, you know, when I read your book, seeing the way you kind of put all those together, and you kept the Bible the main thing. You know, obviously, if it goes against the Bible, then we throw it out. You did that in your book, and it made me realize that, you know, a lot of my thoughts before that I had about it, it was just based off of what I've just heard. And that's just simply tradition. You know, the evidence wasn't there. And so the specific things you pointed out, specific things in the scripture, that's what I really got from the interviews we did with you, from reading your book, that, you know, you pay attention to details that most of us just don't think about when we're reading scriptures. As a pastor, I'm looking for preaching material, you know, but you're looking for physical evidence of locations. And so it was just, I couldn't believe how many things you brought up. And I was like, is that even in the Bible? And then I went and looked, and I was like, that's right there.
Well, most people rely on the gold standard as if something is in a book and it's footnoted. Mm-hmm. So you have hundreds of footnotes saying this is true. Okay, right. 100 footnotes. Well, if all these people agree with it, we're going to stay in the safe harbor of mutual consent. I'm going to put my belief system based on that. But we shouldn't do that. We should be like the Bereans. The Bereans were called noble because they challenged and read it from the Word of God. Paul even said that. Don't believe me, guys. Just be like the Bereans that are noble, because they check it out. It is written. It is written. That's where you need to go. Is the Bible needs to be the gold standard. It needs the compass. It needs to be the plumb line. It needs to be the compass. It needs to be everything we use, the level in determining truth. And a lot of people don't do that, unfortunately. A lot of people rely on other people's words. They say, well, it was written by this guy. He's really famous, and he put it in a book. And he has these footnotes, but he footnoted everybody that agrees with him. You don't see any footnotes that people say to disagree with him. So they find people that agree with him. You don't find that's regurgitation. It's not investigation. Mm-hmm. Investigation is be like the Bereans, challenge everything to the Word of God. Then if you see the Word of God correlates with it, then you can say, okay, I have a foundation which to stand on in my faith, is if it backed up with the solid ground of Scripture, the gold standard of truth, Scripture. And so that's what I try to do is right. Use that in everything I do. And it seems to be a good formula. I had one scholar tell me once, he goes, he's a good Bible scholar, well-known Bible scholar. He says, how do you find all this stuff? I said, well, I use the Bible. He goes, you what? I says, I use the Bible. He says, you're not using Conrad Schick. You're not using this guy over here, Warren. You're not using all these ancient great archaeologists. No, I'm using the Bible. Because, like, say, with Mount Sinai, the Bible says in Galatians 4:25 that Mount Sinai is in Arabia. Duh. Everybody believes this in the Sinai Peninsula because what? Helena in the 4th century, Queen Helena, the mother of Constantine, said this is where it is. They put a pin in the map, and everybody since then is saying that's where Mount Sinai is. It's propped up by the Catholic Church and other belief systems that that is the real Mount Sinai. But the Bible says it's in Arabia.
Right.
Why aren't we looking in Arabia? So we went to Arabia, and sure enough, we found this cornucopia of evidence. And now today, most scholars would say that Mount Sinai is in Arabia.
Right.
Most of them will.
Well, and that's another thing I learned, too, from this project and listening to what you had to say is you mentioned regurgitation. And that was a fascinating thing to me. A couple of the things that you referenced in the interviews and when we had conversations is like, where did this idea originate? And because people tell you all the sources. Well, if you actually go and you start reading sources, they're all, it's really one. Just there's been many books repeating the same guy. And so it's really often it's only one source. And sometimes that one source was not a good source. I never knew any of that stuff about Helena, Constantine's mother, and how that's where a lot of those things originated. And so, you know, when I realized that and I started looking into that, I realized this is tradition. This isn't based on facts. And that's acceptable in certain cultures. You know, tradition trumps everything, but you know, we're 21st century Americans, we're supposed to be about the facts. And so the way you approach these things, it was a challenge, and it got me checking sources more often and checking for the origination rather than just multiple regurgitations of that one person.
Yeah, it's an echo chamber, or it's a ping pong ball on a bucket. It just bounces around within that parameter. But we need to take a sledgehammer, get rid of the bucket, and find out where truth leads us.
Yeah.
We don't want that ping pong ball bouncing around there forever and saying the same thing, because everybody starts saying, well, this is the bucket, and here's the ping pong. That's right. No, scripture's saying it's over here, guys. You know, the reason that scholars don't venture out into this choppy waters is they want three things. Scholars want to be published, they want to be promoted, and they want to have prestige. Okay, so they don't venture off. And what they do is if they venture off into saying, hey, there's Noah's Ark in the university, their career's over with. I'm sorry. It's a historical event. It occurred in the Bible. F.F. Bruce has a great, great line. Have you ever heard of F.F. Bruce, the great writer? He's a great writer and a philosopher and everything. But he said something great that is germane to myself. He said, the cause of learning is from those who are willing to expose their brain waves to the pitiless criticism of others. No scholar wants to do that. So you're not going to find truth in that paradigm. He says everybody's afraid to go out in the choppy waters of discontent. I go there. I'm a former ex-police officer, and I go where the truth leads me. And I don't care about people saying I'm not a good scholar, or I'm not a pedigreed this, or I'm not this. I care about the truth. And if I get clobbered from it, I get clobbered from it. And I have been clobbered from it. But I'm not going to change. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to speak the truth in love. And if people accept it and are encouraged by it, I'm blessed. If they're not, I hope that they come to a realization that Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you so much for your participation. That we wouldn't have been able to do this film without you when we were over
well, you
there.
You did great, though, Tom. You were awesome on it, and I want to just commend you. I'm watching you, and you're coming up with stuff that I've been researching this for a long time. You know, one of the things, you don't know, it's not on the film, but a young lady called me, 14 years old, and she said, you know, you missed something in your book. And she goes, you're Bob Cornuke, and you wrote this book. And she goes, I'm a little embarrassed, I'm a little shaky here, nervous talking to you. I said, well, don't be. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, like everybody else. And she goes, well, read Psalm 46:4. And I read Psalm 46:4. I don't know if you have it on your Bible, or we got something, but Psalm 46:4 says, there's a rivers that make glad the city of God and the holy place of the temple. So it's one sentence. It says there's a river who makes glad the city of God, which is the city of David. Rivers is the Gihon Springs.
Yes.
And it's a common, it says the place of the holy temple. That's all, this gal, and that's what I want.
Yes.
I want these people to go into the Bible and find things that I don't find.
Yep.
And she found this, and I said, wait a second. This is what we're all about, getting young people engaged in the Bible and finding things for themselves. Don't just listen to what I say. Don't listen to what Billy Graham says. Don't listen to what the Pope says. Don't look at what Trump says. Don't look at me. Your faith lies in Christ and Christ alone, and that's what you need to follow. Now, maybe Trump and me and everybody else and the Pope can help, but never, never rely on any man for your salvation. You rely on the truth, the way, the truth, and the life Christ says. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no growing. So we need to follow what the Bible says.
Well, thank you. Very well said. I appreciate it.